Yeah, this wow.
Underwear. So it's sexy wolf head crotch underwear for men.
Are you serious? Sexy wolf head crotch underwear?
Yes.
For men?
And so...
That doesn't even sound right. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host...
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So we're going to kick off this fine episode with advice on advice. Advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice. Hence, hashtag advice on advice. So Katie's got some sweet advice here.
Yes, this is great. This is Dear Prudence.
Okay, a classic.
Yes.
Okay. Get your wine out.
Yes. Get ready, everyone. Crack your knuckles.
Crack your knuckles. Yes.
And get your put your thinking caps on for this one.
Ready? Strap it on.
Dear Prudence, I don't get along with my sister-in-law.
Okay.
She adores my brother and makes him very happy, so I try to be friendly when I see her.
Okay.
But
good for you.
Now that we moved back to his hometown and she lives just a few miles away, it's gotten much harder.
Okay.
She criticizes my taste in furniture, my clothes, and my cooking.
Well, stop inviting her over.
Right. I try to...
Or be nude when she comes over. Be in your front yard.
Yeah.
She can't see your clothing or your furniture. Problem solved.
Yeah. I try to deflect the comments, but she will not let it go. Recently, my husband and I adopted two rescue dogs and posted pictures of them on Facebook.
Okay.
I then get a text from my sister-in-law telling me that I have to change the name of my dogs because she is going to use those names for her kids.
Are you kidding me?
And now she is pregnant, but I can't tell anyone. This is ridiculous, and I don't know what to do. Do I just ignore her and hope it goes away? Share the text and get raked over the coals for spoiling the pregnancy surprise? Post tons of pictures of my dogs and refer to them as my babies?
Yes.
I have to live with this woman in my life, and I don't want to hurt my brother, but I'm not changing the name of my dogs.
This is a difficult one because, no, don't change the name of your dogs. What are you talking about? What are the chances?
What are the chances? I have... These are my two baby names, and
yes.
I'm going to have babies. And you named your dogs those specific names.
But she didn't know those names because she didn't know the one was pregnant. So yeah. I'm just wondering, I think that I'm calling BS on this one. I think this sister is just trying to hijack these names.
Yeah.
The sister-in-law, because what are the chances?
She probably can't think of names. And she's like, those are good names.
The names are probably like Mortimer.
Yeah.
And like Tinsley. Or something. This woman's pregnant with twin girls, and she's like, damn it, those are the names.
Mortimer was making me laugh. Okay. Tinsley
Mortimer, I think, is an author.
Okay.
I know that name, but I just picked those names because, I don't know, they came into my
head.
That's
funny.
But, like, really? Don't, first of all, was Facebook mentioned in this? Don't be on Facebook with this woman.
Yeah.
Do not be texting
her.
Don't be on social media. This is your in-law.
Yes.
One of my in-laws tried to come at me on Facebook, and I block.
Yeah.
That's just not what I do on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's not for family.
Right.
It's for me. It's for friends.
This is true.
You know?
It's for friends.
Maybe a cousin that I used to chill with back in the day, but that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is why, because now she's trying to hijack your dog baby names.
Yeah, the more, if she's got this issue with her, and she's always trying to get in there with some kind of comment, she's always going to find something.
If I were her, not only would I keep those names, I would make, whenever that woman has these babies, is it two babies, I guess? Because she's saying both of the names?
She's got
twins?
Well, they don't say twins. She just now is pregnant.
But, like, does she need both of the names?
That's the thing.
You know,
yeah,
like, does she need the two names? Like, is one of them the first name of the baby and the other one's the middle name? I would not only keep the baby names, I would post the pictures of those dogs dressed as babies with those names all over the place. And then when the person has a baby, I will say that that date is the birthday of these two dogs.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. That's how you solve this problem.
That's perfect.
Yes.
That's perfect.
I mean, what do you think about this? It's bizarre.
All right. Well, here's the advice.
Oh, the advice. Okay.
This is a sister-in-law for the record books. I've heard of plenty of fights over baby names, but I've yet to come across a dog versus unborn baby combo.
Exactly.
Where the dogs in question have already been named and the baby does not yet exist.
And is a secret.
Yes.
By the way.
I almost admire her ability to mine conflict from a seemingly peaceful landscape. As tempting as it may be to start rubbing Ruby and Synthesizer in your sister-in-law's face.
Ruby and Synthesizer. That's better than
no, Mortimer and Tinsley. I think gentle non-engagement is the road to hoe here.
What's gentle non-engagement? Is there any aggressive non-engagement? It's just non-engagement.
Non-engagement. Yeah. We're not going to change the dog's names, but congratulations on your pregnancy. What exciting news. Don't get drawn into an argument or an explanation for your behavior, because what she's asking is so absurd that the only response it merits is a flat refusal.
Yeah.
There is a non-zero possibility that this pregnancy is invented solely to try to get you to do what she wants, which is why she asked you, not her brother, and why she's swearing you to secrecy now.
Yeah, there might not even be a pregnancy. Yeah, I haven't thought about that. Yeah. She's just making it like, if I do get pregnant, I'm going to be needing these names, so back off, B.
Yeah.
In advance. So weird.
Right.
I would have to say disengage.
Yeah. Perhaps I'm being paranoid, but your sister-in-law has already displayed a propensity for the irrational and is quite a... And it's quite a coincidence she favors the name of both your pets, not only one.
Yes.
Plenty of dogs have human names and vice versa. Your sister's children, whenever they come into being, will have their share of names, no matter how unique, with any number of other humans and animals. So they'll be just fine.
What if the names are like Spot and Sparky? Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly. That there's two.
Yeah. And that she needs both of those names, regardless of the gender.
Yeah.
Of the child that she's going to have, the gender of the dogs, the number of names, and the number of children. She yeah. needs all of them. So weird.
The only name thing that I got, that I heard about, that actually, it did have merit, as one friend, generations in her family have mm-hmm. named their first child, their okay. first daughter, with a specific letter of the alphabet. There's one letter. Okay. Say what it was
P.
like. P.
Yeah.
So for generations, the first daughter or had a P name.
Okay.
And it always has to be different.
Okay.
So there's, and you can't take
each other's
names. You
can't repeat the P name.
Yeah, you can't repeat them. And so she picked her P name when she was pregnant.
Petunia, let's say.
Petunia.
For example, quite popular.
And then found out her sister-in-law was pregnant. Well, her sister-in-law was pregnant. Got to jump on the pregnancy. Not on purpose, of course. It just happened.
Make it happen. Swim, guys. Swim.
Yes. So her daughter was born, and mm-hmm. she took that name.
The P name.
The P name. But didn't do it on purpose. She was just like, this is the name I always wanted.
It happens.
But she was like, ah. She tried to explain, like, the
significance
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, the significance and why. And
I mean,
she didn't have a lot of options. With the letter P. She wanted to carry on the tradition.
It makes more sense if the letter is like X yeah. or Z.
Yeah. So the sister-in-law kept the name and she found a different name for her
Yeah,
child.
That's what you have to do. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Is like people pick names for their kids and they're extremely important to them. And that's okay. I mean, there are plenty. It's interesting because in my husband's family, because they are Greek, they all have the same names. Mm-hmm. Everybody is either Chris or Gregory.
Yeah.
And I think there's some Yorgos.
Okay.
But that literally everybody, and sometimes, and I think there's William.
That's
and it's a combination yeah. of these names.
Yeah.
And I, apparently, according to him, it's like that in a lot of Greek families. There's just like a yes. couple names that just make the rounds. And no one cares if you go to like a function and you yell out Chris and 20 guys turn around.
That's in my Greek wedding.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
They,
okay.
They do make a joke about that.
They're like, hey, Yanni.
They're introducing everybody. This is Gustavo.
It's like, it's Yorgos and Yorgos.
Yeah.
Christos.
Yeah,
Gregorio.
And they're all like, hi.
Yeah, that's how, and they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, but I have to say, like, the idea is that that the sister-in-law is trying to find things.
Yes.
So she's got a problem.
She's not pregnant. She's seen that someone has adopted two dogs. What can I take from her? The yeah. names.
Yeah.
Change the dog's name. So bizarre.
Yeah.
I would change the name to her, whatever yeah. her name is. I would call them.
Say, okay, yeah, you can have these two names.
I'm taking yours.
But my dog's name are now.
Yeah, your first name and your middle name.
Yeah.
Are these dogs. And they're both bitches, just like you. Wow. So, I mean, I think Prudence called it, though. I like that one.
I like that. It was good.
All right, cool. So we have some listener mail. Do you want to do the listener mail? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that say wolves?
Yes.
Wow, I'm so excited. One of my favorite topics.
It was really addressed to you.
Okay.
Which
but I don't answer the mail frequently.
No. But it was addressed to both of us.
Okay.
It says, hey, ladies. But this is really something hey, that this listener thought of you. The subject is penises and wolves.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
It sounds like a tattoo.
So it's from Tori C. Thank you so much, Tori, first of all, for getting in contact with us. We love these emails.
Yeah, and also I love cross segment action. This is it sounds like barnyard news and penis news.
We'll see.
Okay.
Okay. So, hey ladies, just wanted to let you know that I love your podcast. It's funny, smart, and informative.
Huh.
It's such a great way to start my week, and I look forward to Monday mornings now because of you two.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's awesome.
That's a high compliment.
Yes, because Mondays suck.
Yeah. I just saw this on Facebook, and the fact that just the mere sight of this post immediately make me think Jaquetta made me feel
great.
Made me feel obligated to send it in.
Okay.
And there's a link here, and she says, thank you for the fabulous podcast. I look forward to hearing more.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tori. Okay.
So I clicked on the link.
Oh, no.
I will show you the picture.
Oh, wow. What is...
There is an image of a rather fit man.
This will be posted as probably the picture for this episode. So if you go to heyyouknowit.com, you can see this wonderful picture.
Okay, so this is a product he is wearing. It is. Undershorts.
Okay. Undershorts.
And it has, in the crotch area, it's the head of a wolf. And in the background, there is a silhouette of a moon and a wolf howling at it.
Wow. It's not quite three wolf moon people, but it gets close.
Yes, and then the gentleman is holding the package. It's a three-piece set.
Yeah, wow.
Underwear. So it's sexy wolf head crotch underwear for men.
Are you serious? Sexy wolf head crotch underwear?
Yes.
For men?
And so...
That doesn't even sound right.
This is a little article about it. It shows the pictures. It says, apparently it's my job here at Dangerous Minds to inform our dear readers about the latest trends in men's underwear.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, I directed your eyes towards sexy knitted elephant and snake underwear for men, and this week it's wolf's head underwear. I mean, I totally thought I couldn't top my last underwear post, but here I am blogging about wolf's head underwear.
Wow. It actually, I mean, it really looks 3D in the picture.
Because the next sentence is, you could get these men's fashion wolf underwear 3D print boxer shorts.
Wow.
From China through Amazon. And the description on Amazon is 3D wolf pattern print underwear that make man look sexy and wild.
China knows what America wants, people.
The next bullet is a wide waist design, make man comfortable, no tight feeling.
Make man comfortable, no tight feeling? Right. That's awful.
Next bullet, you convex design, large space and breathable.
Convex design?
Yes.
Okay.
Not a concave design.
Yeah, you didn't want that.
Because you get the convex.
Yes.
To capture.
It's just the worst way to... Okay.
And the next one. High quality material and great handwork.
Excuse me?
Perfect gift to boyfriend or husband.
Wow. It is actually pretty funny.
It is.
And it looks like this guy's just wearing a wolf head on his crotch.
It does.
Like it looks extremely 3D, even just in the printout.
Yes. They're only $20.99 for a set of three.
For three? Okay, but one is all you need.
One's all you need.
Yeah. Are they three identical wolves, or is it like a gray wolf? Are we looking at a white wolf, an Arctic wolf?
Know.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Just generic wolf. And the best part about these undershorts, is that they're calling them?
I call them
undershorts. Okay, undershorts, is that only the head part has anything on it. The legs, nothing.
There's no body of the animal.
Yeah, there's no background, no body. It's just like a disembodied head hanging out above the package area.
Yeah. It's the funniest thing. So, yeah, go to our website and take a look at the image.
That is awesome. Thank you so much, Tori.
Tori, you are the best.
That made my day.
You have made 2016 bearable.
Yes. Speaking of bears, I'd like to do a quick segue. So I found here, apparently, brown bears and polar bears are now hanging out together.
What?
It says here.
This is...
See? This is reports recently have revealed mating between grizzly and polar bears in North America. It's interracial bear action. People.
Really?
And
this
it's claimed that climate change has brought ebony and ivory together. Emphasis my own. It says similar global warming effect could be happening in Siberia with brown and polar bears finding love. I love how they say it that way.
Finding love. Like they're like online dating.
Yeah, making whoopee. Like I'm open to brown bears now.
Yeah.
You know, I've only ever dated white bears, polar bears in the past.
But I'm open.
But I'm open. So it's true that polar bears do occasionally reach the areas that brown bears are in, but now because of global warming and climate change, they're coming together more often. Then they found a picture of a brown bear mother with two cubs. One of the cubs was white and the other one brown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So wow. And they're going to be accepted by everyone in nature.
Well, this is the thing. That's what they're saying. The bears don't seem to give a shit.
Yeah.
The mother doesn't seem to care. They were spotted by tourists on a rafting trip.
Oh.
So senior researcher at Kronoski Nature Reserve said, I have been working on the reserve for more than 40 years observing the bears. Obviously not close enough because this bear didn't appear out of nowhere. Like, it takes a while to make a cub, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He said, this is the first case of meeting a bear of such color. It's not albino because it has a black nose rather than pink. So if it were an albino brown bear, it would have all of the traits of albinism.
Right,
but this is just...
eyelashes.
The yeah, the white... the eyes would look different, all of that kind of stuff. But this is just a white bear. He believes that it's a rare mutation. The bear is 3 years old. So that means that it has been accepted in the wild if it's made it to the age of three. Soon the animal will begin its adult life, and they're looking to see if this white, they're calling it a white brown bear, will pass on its color to future generations. But they have spotted bears of what they say are unusual colors. So like a pale fawn color, ginger, and light brown. So it's happening, people. It's on.
It's the mixing. This is a different world we live in.
It's a new world. One question for the experts is whether the bear will be helped or hindered as it goes alone. Certainly, as the picture shows, the bear's mother has no problems accepting the white cub. And I'm going to go ahead and guess that no one else is going to really care about this either. I mean, these are bears. These are not people.
Yeah.
Right? They shouldn't have these same hangups. But it's just fascinating. So the picture is really cool because I'm not a huge bear fan, but I watch a lot of stuff about wolves. And so, you know, bears figure into sometimes those documentaries.
They share the same habitat.
And I've never seen a brown bear and white bear together.
Nobody has, really.
Nope. So it's very interesting. Bears, they're doing it. Showing us the way.
You know, it's got to be. We need to see more.
Yeah, the barriers are breaking down.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got?
They got the four R's. What's the four R's? Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat. 209 West 40th Street. Hashtag Bump Life NYC.
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Right. Tales from Der Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories, urban legends, and we retell them here around the digital campfire. So,
gather around, listeners.
All right, is this a scary one?
This one is called, this is about scary workplaces.
Ugh, that's every workplace. I'm like, what are you talking about? Who likes to work?
Okay, so this is someone's first person account.
Okay.
What they've encountered.
In the haunted cubicle.
This is my first story on the website, and this experience happened to me about 3 years ago when I used to work for a business center as a security receptionist.
Okay.
Now,
security receptionist?
Yes. Now, before I start my story, I'd like to give more detail about my workplace.
Yeah, I want to know what the receptionist security position is.
My workplace has one basement and one ground floor, which is the reception area, and three floors. Has two lifts on opposite sides to be that used to be a warehouse for a clothes company, but now it's a business center.
Okay.
So it used to be like this big warehouse.
Yeah, place. Yeah. So it's a big open space, concrete.
When I first started the job, I didn't feel anything strange or paranormal. It happened about 3 weeks after when I felt something was not right about the workplace.
Well, the honeymoon period's over then. That's when the spirits feel free. It's been here almost a month.
Yeah.
We're coming out.
I work 12-hour days and nights, meaning 4 days and four nights. Okay. My work... colleagues, as a security receptionist, I have to patrol in and out of the building just to check if everything's okay and there are no intruders or any alarms going off.
Okay.
This isn't from the UK, by the way.
It has to be. Because I'm like, security receptionist sounds fancy.
Yeah.
It was a security guard.
Yeah.
Rent-a-cop.
It was night. And I was at the reception desk and my colleague was patrolling the building in and out. Everything was okay.
Okay.
So he reported to control that everything was fine. It was my turn to patrol the building in and out, and I was in the basement checking if there was anyone there because out of office hours, so normally there should be, it was night. I was at the reception desk, and my colleague was patrolling the building in and out. Everything was okay. He reported to control. Everything was fine. Mm-hmm. It was my turn to patrol the building in and out. I was at the basement checking if there was anyone there because it was out of office hours. So normally there shouldn't be anyone there. So I decided to go more deep into the basement.
Why? Make sure that there's nobody there?
The basement was a bit messed up, so I decided to
clean it. Man, it was messed up in there.
I decided to clean it a bit. Just normal tidiness.
Okay.
Even though it's not my job.
Yeah, I was going to say. I would definitely hire this person, though.
Yeah. So then I start to open the door. Something drops so loud, it like a bang on the floor coming from the small room. Mm-hmm. I decided to check what the noise was.
All right.
I walked to that room, and I remember I already checked this room.
The small room.
Yes.
That's going to be the title of the story.
It was impossible for someone to be there, but I double checked.
Really? Okay, stop. I got to pause you for a second because this guy is literally, or woman, is literally sneaking around like an old decrepit office building, hearing noises, and then going closer to where the noises are coming from? No.
Yes.
I'm surprised you lived it to write the story.
Yes. There's nothing there. I got up and walked to the door. Then suddenly I heard a voice behind me. It sounded like it said,
"Yo,
are you finished?" I immediately turned around, but there was no one there.
Okay. Are you done here? You done?
I went up to the first floor reception area to speak to my work colleague about what happened. And he just looked at me and thought he must be thinking, "I am mad. It was my imagination."
Yeah. That's how these things start.
Yeah. Then he said to me, "You don't know this, but the place is haunted."
And then, poof, he was gone.
Right. Yeah. It used to be a warehouse in the 1960s, but unfortunately it burnt down, killing 4 people.
Okay.
I said to him, "Have you heard or seen anything while working?" He said, "I have heard and seen, not today, but only about 2.5 months ago."
Okay.
I was patrolling and reading the newspaper, and suddenly I heard a noise. Now, this is... I was sitting in the chair to see what it was, and the lights went off in the corner of the room, and I saw a man just standing there. I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought I was imagining, but no one was there.
Shadow person.
Yeah. But then I saw the man wearing a 1960s suit with a black hat.
Called it, because they dress sharp.
Yep. I noticed that his arm had a cut mark and was bleeding.
Through a suit?
Yeah. So I was scared and didn't know how to react. I just ran down the stairs.
That's correct. That's a good reaction. You did know how to act. I disagree with that statement.
I believe what you heard was paranormal, but and I believe you, but just get used to it.
Really? Dude, just deal with this job.
You can get used to it. It doesn't bother you after a while.
So, okay. How are you supposed to know if you're security receptionist or whatever? If it's a robber or somebody who's not supposed to be in the building, or if it's just like this sharp-dressed shadow G-man from the 60s.
It comes with the territory, I guess. You have to investigate
everything. Yeah. And then if you see it's a shadow person, it's like, okay, forget it.
Yeah, then what do you do?
Well, obviously you can't tell your colleague because he doesn't give an F.
Yeah.
He told you just to get over it. Deal with it.
Yeah, because they're there.
Wow. So what, any responses to this guy? Although I say shadow person, not that anyone asked me.
Yeah.
For a diagnosis.
There are a couple of comments here, but one of the people say, you keep how do I deal, they're giving advice on how to deal with seeing a spirit.
What do you do?
And somebody said, cold iron. Keep a chunk of cold iron on hand when you work there.
And then fling it at them?
That's what I thought too.
Keep a chunk of...
So I looked it up. I was like, what does that mean?
I'm thinking like a tire iron and just go at the ankles or the kneecaps.
Yeah, it's... an iron has a long and varied tradition in the mythology and folklore of the world. As human blood smells like iron, in many traditions, iron is equated with life.
Okay.
So you would use, you have a chunk of iron for good luck. That's where a horseshoe comes into place. That's why you have an iron horseshoe.
Okay, but now I'm going around smelling like delicious human blood. And I feel like that might draw spirits and evil things closer to me, no?
No.
Unless I throw it over there, like you throw a piece of meat to get a dog going away from you?
No, it's considered good luck and life. So it's supposed to keep away bad spirits. Huh. And that's why you have a lucky horseshoe.
Because it's made out of iron. And I thought it had something to do with the shape. Okay,
and the shape also has something to do with it. Okay. That's why it's not. It's it's in the shape that it's in.
Okay.
But it is, that's one of the reasons why you would have a piece of iron to ward off evil. And it's been, cold iron is historically believed to repel, contain, or harm ghosts, fairies, and witches, or other malevolent supernatural creatures.
So is this why people think that crosses keep things away? Were they made of iron? Is that like some point, like, is that the reasoning behind that? And then you fashion it into the shape of them, it's even more powerful.
Oh, right.
I like that. Very interesting. I like how you backed that up with some research.
Yes.
We got literary up in here.
Yeah, that's why surrounding a cemetery, there's an iron fence. It keeps the souls of the dead inside.
Huh.
An iron horseshoe on a door is to repel evil spirits and bring good luck. And burying an iron knife under the entrance of one's home was alleged to keep witches from entering.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Very nice. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's why I was like, as I'm reading this, I'm like, this is not a great story.
But it leads to something.
It leads to something. Fascinating. Interesting. And that's why I put it in my arsenal.
of badass materials.
Yes.
So I have, I got a little bit of penis news here.
Oh, my goodness.
So penis news is a segment that I like to do. It's a dick update, scrotum stories, the member on the move. And this one is very interesting because it's about a gadget that's going to help the penis. Oh. It's called Urinary 2.0. And it allows you, or those of you who have a penis, to wash and dry it. And they're trying to replace...
Is this a problem? Are the owners of penises having a hard time washing and drying their penises?
Well, it's called Urinary 2.0 because it's a urinal type device, and they're trying to overtake the standard toilet. It's a high-tech urinal that washes and dries the penis after it's been used by the owner.
Oh.
So
you know that there's going to be like people in there for...
I'm going to go in there and just stick my hand by it. What are you kidding? So basically what it does, it's a bathroom gadget.
Guys are going to take their time in there.
It looks like a urinal. It senses when there's a penis or penis-shaped object in the area. And then when you're finished peeing, it gets to work and soapy water sprays onto the penis.
Guys are like, yeah.
Soapy water sprays onto the penis for 3 seconds. It's going to be cool water in the summertime, a little bit warmer in the wintertime, so as not to shock the penis.
Yeah.
And then another sensor will activate a climate-controlled dryer. It's like a bathroom hand dryer, and it's going to blow the area dry. Oh, I'm just imagining things flopping all over the place.
You know when you have the high-power dryer and it pushes your skin?
That's what I'm thinking.
It's like jumping out of an airplane, that look on the face.
There's some very surprised dicks out there. Hair blown back, this kind of thing. Pubes blown to the side. So the invention is currently in prototype stage thanks to a Spanish team of biochemists and a businessman named Edward Kevorkian, an economist named Ivan Geiner, and a coach named Miguel Angel Leventeri. What is the coach doing?
Coaching?
So it's
standing
biochemists, businessmen, economists, and a coach.
Oh, what kind of coach?
Is it a sports coach? I don't know. Life coach? Life coach?
All right. Somebody who has to oversee the operation to be like, this is...
Yeah, this is good. Keep going.
Keep going, guys.
Where's your focus? Yeah. On the penis. Made following an original idea from Leventeri, the team believe they may have their hands on a hit. Leventeri sought us out as entrepreneurs, and we suggest the use of sensors so that the user doesn't have to touch anything and everything is as hygienic as possible. I don't know if I had a penis, if I'd want to like try it out with this thing. If I did, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to stick my genitals in like a sensor area and then it's going to be sprayed with soap, sprayed with water, and then blown to hell. It says, don't worry if you're lacking in confidence in the trouser department. According to Kevorkian, the system adapts to any user, regardless of the size of his member. Oh, for the guys who are like, I'm going to need 2 of these. I'm going to need 4 of these.
Oh, wow.
He believes that it's more than a gimmick. In fact, he sees it as a replacement for the common toilet. So I don't have a penis, but I've seen men use urinals before.
Yeah.
There's not really a washing component to that. You just wash your hands.
Yeah.
Right?
Why
would you need to wash off your penis if you're just taking a pee?
And you know what? if there is water being splashed around, your whole front of your trousers are going
to
get soaked.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how it's going to limit it to, like, how small are these like, yeah, spray bottles?
How precise is it going
to
be?
Are they, like, little teeny tiny spray bottles that come out?
Yeah.
And then it gets blown to hell. So it says, Iceland, Sweden, and Austria are among the cleanest countries in the world, and it could succeed there. I say no, because they already probably have really clean penises. No? If they're some of the cleanest people in the world, yeah, what happened
right
between the time they got to work and the time they took a pee 2 hours later?
Yeah.
I'm assuming, unless there's something bizarre going on, that the penis is still okay. You just need to wash your hands. And if you're really, really a clean person, you would wash your hands before and after, right?
Yeah.
So nothing's going to get on the penis. Or I don't know what's happening in urinals nowadays. Maybe
maybe people are need a place to wash their penis after they get busy out in public somewhere.
Really?
Maybe.
Okay, maybe. Wouldn't a wet wipe?
Yeah.
Do that? That's what women have?
Yeah.
You know, for freshness? In any case, so they're Gavorkian and Geiner are negotiating the sale of the patent.
The guys are not going to carry around a wet wipe. They're going to where can I go to wash this off?
Where's a urinary 2.0? If you want to buy the patent, it's for sale. It's 680,000 euro. It says the invention is currently only in the prototype stage, but a number of companies are bidding for the patent. So says the people who are trying to sell it, I'm sure. As for women, Gavorkian says he believes there could be a like invention, adding, we don't want to discriminate against women. No.
No, no.
I do not want a sensor sensing my vagina to come out and spraying stuff on it and then blowing it to hell.
It's scary enough if, like, when the toilet flushes and water comes up.
Yes.
It's like, I don't want that there. No.
I didn't have a chance to move.
Yeah.
With the automatic flusher.
Yeah, because that happens. With the automatic flusher, you're still there, and it suddenly is like, I'm flushing.
Yeah, and you don't want that.
Yeah.
You don't want that at all.
No.
So, I don't, urinary 2.0, I don't know, gentlemen, let us know if this is something you might use. I would feel really uncomfortable with it, sticking my Johnson in this thing, or near this thing.
Yeah.
And what if I think it's going to be, like, just what we were saying, when things go off when they're not supposed to, what if you're still handling your business?
Yeah.
Now you got soapy water all over your hands.
Yeah.
You know, and is a lotion going to be applied afterwards? There's a lot of hot air. Does not a penis get dry?
You know, like every guy is going to be like, yes, lotion.
Yes, and lotion. In fact, only lotion.
Yeah.
Forget about the other parts.
And it needs to be applied with it.
Yeah. That's the urinary 3.0. So that's my penis news. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I have, this is an article that was kind of floating around.
The ether.
And it was talking about people with rhesus negative blood may be aliens. Studies conducted on rhesus negative blood types show that they are missing the rhesus factor, a protein substance.
Well, yeah, that would be rhesus negative.
Yeah, a protein substance present in the red blood cells of other humans.
Is this Rh negative or whatever?
It's Rh negative O blood.
That's me. Yeah. I have Rh negative O blood.
Oh my God.
Okay, what have I done?
Okay.
Or what am I in store for?
Theory suggests that people with your blood type.
Okay, Jaquetta, thank you. It's got personal.
May be from outside of this world.
Oh, I would not be surprised.
Others suggest they are fallen angels from the heavens above, or they belong to an alien race from somewhere in the vast darkness of space.
Wow.
This is awesome.
This is a different backstory than I expected. Yeah.
What is clear is
I thought I came from Africa.
Oh, no. What is clear that those who have the rhesus negative blood are different and unique. A person with negative O blood is able to serve as a donor to any person regardless of their blood type.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I'm a universal donor.
Yeah.
But no one can, I don't know a single person who can give me blood. So if I'm going to the hospital, I have to give myself blood.
But if they need blood, only their own type will suffice.
So
you see, just like you said.
I have to dig up my father.
They represent 15% of the human race are mostly from Northern Europe.
Hey, what happened? I need to do that. What is that? The ancestry.com?
Yeah. The four common blood types today are A, B, AB, and O. The difference between each blood type is dependent on the proteins in the blood. But when it comes to Rh negative blood types, they make about, 10 to 15% of the population.
That's a lot,
though. Don't have these proteins.
Oh, I knew it.
Okay.
I knew I felt a little light in the protein department
Looking back about 35,000 years, scientists believe that the blood type is linked to specific tribes and groups.
Okay.
Europeans have the greatest incidence of this blood type, but only 3% of African Americans have it.
Hey.
And only 1% of Asians have it.
Well, that's because, I mean, I think 10% of each, like, I don't know what the figures are, but, like, for African Americans, a lot of us have European in us, obviously. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's snuck in.
It's, okay, the common characteristics of these types of people.
They're assholes.
No, having a high IQ.
Okay.
A lower body temperature.
Oh, which I do.
Mm-hmm. Having more awareness.
I guess. Yeah, I'm pretty aware. Pretty pissed off, though.
That's aware.
Is that the next one? Generally pissed off.
Well, having red hair.
Well, I dye my hair red. Does that count?
Being sensitive to heat. Having blue or green or hazel eyes.
Oh, missed on that one.
Well, this blood type is shrouded in mystery.
Are you going to pull back that shroud right now?
Yes, especially when it comes to pregnant women, because they have difficulty delivering the baby.
That's true.
Yes. Because their bodies naturally attack it and try to kill the fetus.
Yes.
Yes.
They sure do.
Yes. But, let's see. What is relatively new, there's a theory suggesting that it's possible alien life has influenced this blood type.
How?
Aliens. It's very possible that aliens visit our planet, mm-hmm. as they've done for centuries.
Okay.
And somehow tooled around with the genetics of mankind. After all, history from all over the world has shown time and time again through ancient texts and depictions that we've been visited by beings from out of this world.
By visited, they mean slept with?
Yes.
Because that's the best way to mess with someone's genes.
Yeah.
Look.
So there, because nobody knows where this kind of blood came from. It's very different from...
I was shocked to find out that I was Rh negative and O mm-hmm. positive.
And what's stranger is that almost every person who has reported being abducted by aliens has Rh negative blood.
Well, it's not too late for me to be abducted, I guess.
Oh, we got to keep an eye
on
you.
Yeah, come on down.
Like, tethered.
Yeah.
Tethered around to this yes. planet so you don't get sucked up into a spaceship.
To see when the aliens show up.
Oh.
That's interesting. Huh.
That's really weird.
You didn't know that about me, huh?
No,
that
I didn't
was going to be visited by aliens, I guess.
You're going to.
Wow.
Well,
I like
to
it.
Go back. Maybe they dropped you off.
Uh-huh.
So now
can they come
report.
Pick me up before taxes are due? Like, don't wait until after tax day.
Am I a test now that...
Am I your test?
Am I, like, are you here just to... what is your mission? If you were an alien,
if I were an alien,
yeah,
what would my mission be?
What's your wish?
I mean, I guess podcasting is it. Maybe I'm secretly broadcasting some, like, alien plans through the podcast, through Heike. And you were unwittingly...
I am
complicit to it.
I probably am.
And maybe they're like, you know, when we come back for Jaquetta, just get Katie too. She's all right. She's all right.
Oh, please, will you take me with you?
God, there's room for one more.
Jaquetta, take me to your leader.
Yes.
Please.
I need to take you right to David Bowie.
Okay, because I have O negative blood.
Oh, really?
No, A negative. Sorry.
A negative.
A negative.
Okay. So I can give you blood, but I cannot get you selfish. No, when I found out that I had that blood type, I was like, oh, man.
Oh, no, it's cool. There's some...
I guess.
No.
It just means that in an emergency, it would be very difficult for me to get blood.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I look like a big old sack of blood in an emergency. To anyone who's around. Just hook it up to me.
Oh, yeah.
Just get a
you
pipe directly.
You could probably
directly.
Sell that.
Not in America, but yeah, you probably could.
No.
I like it. Okay, so this is a little out of the box for us, but I thought it was interesting. So, I didn't know this. Captain Morgan was a real person?
Yes.
Did you know this?
Yes, I found that out recently when in Panama.
Okay. So, it says Captain Morgan, he was a rogue Welsh privateer.
Mm-hmm.
And a privateer is basically a pirate that's been hired by a government to go around and, you know, sack things and destroy things. But they're hired to
And
do
they
it.
Have to wear a tie.
Yes.
And a jacket.
They have to wear a pin.
Yeah.
So, apparently, Captain... Morgan was a well-known pirate. He came from a background of people who, they weren't noble, but they were like in the upper echelons of society
okay.
through military service. Aside from that, they don't know much about him. He was born in 1635, either in England or Wales.
Whichever.
And then he joined the army, and he worked his way up through to become captain. First, he served under a guy called Captain Venerables. Who sucked. Apparently.
Okay.
So he sucked. This guy lost a lot of battles, and then everyone on his ship had, like, yellow fever, malaria, and dysentery. But somehow...
Sounds great. Yeah, wow.
Young Captain Morgan survived. And that's how you became someone back in the day. If you could make it through all of the wars and the diseases, whoever was left, you know what I mean? If you could make it past, like, 25.
Yeah.
You know, like, you were an old person. So, basically, he became a captain, and he did his pirating or privateering all around the quote-unquote New World. He was in Cuba. He was in Grenada. He was around Jamaica. He was in the area of Puerto Rico. Like, he was all over the place. And I just thought it was really interesting that he was an actual guy.
Yeah. One of the things that I read about him, this was a couple of years ago, listeners, Jaquetta was in Panama, and I went to visit. And I went on a snorkeling trip.
Okay.
A snorkeling expedition. And I was dropped off.
Expedition, indeed.
I was dropped off at this little beach. There was no one around. And I read about this area, and it was a particular beach that Captain Morgan liked to dock at.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he did, he would send somebody out ahead of time to tell people in the villages, listen, we're coming in 3 weeks.
Get out.
Yeah. Leave all your stuff behind, and we're going to take it. Don't stay, because we'll kill you. And don't try to take your stuff, because we're going to come back again, kill you, and take your stuff.
Wow.
So just go and save your lives. We're coming in 3 weeks. And then you're welcome to come back and stay there.
Yeah, that's what I was reading, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, and it's humanitarian in one sense, but it also is, like, a good way of doing business. Because who wants to be bothered killing peasants and villagers?
Yeah.
When really you're just there to sack the place.
Yeah, we just want
and get
stuff.
What you want. So then the story I was reading, it was about him going to a place called, I'm going to mispronounce it, I think it was, like, Maracaibo. So he really, really wanted this area. So he did what you said. He sent some people ahead. I said, everybody get out. I'm coming. We're coming into town. We're going to sack this place. We're going to take everything. So everybody, and we're going to take all the gold from the Spanish that they were hiding. So the entire village left to the point when Captain Morgan showed up, there was no one for him to ask where anything was. So they started looking around and they found a slave who was like, yeah, I'll tell you where things is in exchange for a freedom.
Oh.
And a trip to Jamaica.
Please.
And they were like, no problem. So this slave showed them where the treasures were. Because, I guess he hadn't thought, like, if everybody leaves, we won't be able to find our way around. So he did this all the time. He would just send people ahead, as you said, tell people to leave, and then try to find stuff when he got there. He actually, one of the most interesting things I saw was that he would pretend that men were on his ship by setting up logs with, like, clothing on them to fake people out.
Yeah.
So then when the other armies would go out, the other ships would go out to attack his ship, guess what? They're already on land.
Yeah.
He also one time used one of his own ships as a bomb. He dressed it up to make it look like there were men on it, and he waited until the enemy went out to the ship, boarded the ship. They get onto the ship. They're like, oh, my God. Then it's too late. He blew it up.
Oh, my God.
Amazing, huh?
That is.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting guy. So, yeah, Captain Morgan, not just the guy on the rum.
Yeah.
An actual dude.
Yeah, and everyone's
badass.
Everyone, in the commercials, everyone's, doing the Captain Morgan pose and
putting
their foot up on a chair.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's actually from a real guy. I thought it was made up. It was actually very interesting. Very interesting. And that place that I'm talking about, Maracaibo, is in Venezuela.
Okay.
All right. So what do you have?
I have famous beefs.
All right, famous beef. So this is a new segment that we started where we just, self-explanatory, I guess, beef that's famous.
Yeah, right. This is David Lee Roth and Van Halen.
They had beef?
Yeah,
I thought
Lee
they
Roth
were friends.
Oh, my God.
Okay, lay it on me.
Well, okay, so Van Halen, one of my favorite groups from
back like
in
Van
the
Halen
day.
I like Van Halen, too, yeah.
So... Eddie Van Halen, Alex Van Halen were brothers.
Then okay.
Michael Anthony, he played the bass, and David Lee Roth. So they were all friends, and they
So two brothers and two friends.
Yes.
Okay.
So they put together a band and named it Van Halen, even though David Lee Roth wanted it to be called Roth.
Of course. Well, but they have a vote, and the two brothers won, because they both were Van Halen. Oh, come on, though. Van Halen is an awesome name.
It is a really great name.
What was he going to call it? Lee Roth?
Into just Roth.
No. That doesn't even sound right. Okay.
Okay, so, but they proved to be a great band. Musically, I mean, Eddie Van Halen played the guitar. He's one of the best guitarists, yeah. Arguably.
David Lee Dorff is a great front man.
He is a fantastic front man.
Nobody could rock tights and a scarf.
Like him.
Like him.
But he just thrived on being in front of people.
And he used to run around the stage, which I thought was amazing.
Like a maniac. Yes. You should watch the Panama video.
Oh, I love that video.
The video is just makes me laugh.
He's flying around, swinging around, running back and forth.
Doing kicks.
Yes.
Swinging his legs around.
It's bizarre.
He is. Yeah, he definitely is the front man of hair metal.
I just didn't really understand growing up, because I didn't listen to a lot of hair metal until I got a little older. Whenever I would see these, I'm like, why are they kicking in the air?
Oh, I loved it.
I just didn't get it.
Well, he was one of the first ones to really do
all the kicks.
He
brought that in.
He really brought that in.
Because, you know, in a lot of, you know, a lot of black music, you know, people are very vocal, they're dancing, mm-hmm. but this was different. This is something I'd never seen before. This is just a guy doing straight up an air kick.
Oh, yeah. He loved martial arts, and so he would bring that into his stage performance, and he'd do his jump kicks. That's like when you do a knee, like you leap in the air, one knee goes up, and then you kick the other leg.
Oh, my God. Did he ever bust his chops? I'm just wondering. Any case.
No. For the 3 decades, Van Halen was pretty much one big beef.
Wow.
Yes, despite the band's Women and Children First album.
Women and Children First.
Despite the success, excuse me.
Okay.
Despite the success of their Women and Children First album, David Lee Roth was the first to jump ship. Sick of guitarist Eddie Van Halen's drug addiction.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's legitimate.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
And dissatisfied with the band's musical direction.
Huh.
He called it morose.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know Van Halen that way, but you as a fan, did you see that it was going dark?
No, I didn't think so. There were a couple of songs that were a little...
But it's metal. I mean, in metal, you're allowed to talk about dark subjects or moody subjects, but still have an up sound.
Yeah.
But it's not like they were going Metallica.
I think that they were... They brought in a keyboard, and I didn't like that. I didn't like the synthesizer.
But that's not dark.
I know. But it wasn't maybe as much fun as what he likes, because he was
kicking.
A very... Yeah.
Panama! That kind of stuff.
Then the band enlisted Sammy Hagar as its new frontman,
mm-hmm.
But after a decade, he walked out as well.
Really?
With Van Halen claiming he quit.
Okay.
And that Hagar was fired, but he wasn't.
Okay.
Yes, Sammy Hagar.
Wow.
Roth briefly rejoined.
So they pissed off Sammy Hagar? He seemed like a really easygoing guy.
Yeah.
Like, he seems like a guy you could be drug addicted all around him. He'd be like, well, as long as you show up for the gigs,
yeah,
do your thing. I don't care.
Yes.
I got a couple of businesses going, Cabo Wabo.
Yes, he's got his beverages.
Yeah, he's got his beverage. Yes, all that stuff.
And he likes the beach.
Yeah.
So David Lee Roth briefly rejoined, but offended Eddie by joking around about his hip replacement surgery.
You old bastards. Come on. Really? Hope that when I'm old, if I'm wearing false teeth, you could make a joke about it, and I laugh, they fall out, we both laugh. Come on.
Then in 2004, Hagar returned for 3 new songs and a tour, which was a fiasco.
But then he made a comment about the guy's toupee, and he was out.
Because Eddie was so drunk, it affected his plane at some shows.
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah. So in 2007, Roth came back.
They can't live without him.
That didn't have Michael Anthony in it. I didn't know about that. Huh. Where was Michael Anthony?
I don't know. Drying out somewhere. Who knows?
Yeah.
He'd had enough.
Okay. Oh, this is what happened.
Okay.
And so Michael Anthony alienated Eddie with misbehavior such as using the band's name to promote his signature hot sauce.
Are you kidding me? Who cares? I don't know. Maybe I'm just not a band type.
Yeah.
But I would be like, hey, man, if you want to use Heike to put out a hot sauce, like, go for it.
Yeah. So when the band was inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Did he kick in the air?
Only Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony showed up.
Are you serious?
The rest were not there.
Come on. That's not cool.
That's not
Get
cool.
over it. Stop, grow up, gentlemen. Strap on that hip and.
Yeah, get your hip and.
And get
oil
on in
up
there.
That hip.
Oil up that hip and stroll into town and get your award.
Put down the drink.
Yeah, that's so sad. So it was the two Van Halen brothers, the Michael Anthony guy. Uh-huh. What about him?
What about Mike?
He's like that one guy in the Rolling Stones that people are like, that other guy.
He's the bass player. Nobody cares
about
the bass
player. No one cares about him, yeah.
And he's just smiling. He's just like, I'll pick up what's ever left.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just doing my job.
Yeah,
this has been a 9-to-5 for me for 30 years.
Yeah, he's like, everybody wants David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
All the girls want David Lee Roth or Eddie Van Halen.
Or that
or the drummer.
Cabo Wabo guy. What about me?
Yeah, he just sat there playing the bass, smiling.
He's like, I'm stuck back here with brunettes.
You know, like he was like a stocky guy with a chubby face.
I don't even know what he looks like. I seriously.
He looks like he could fix a car.
I know who David Lee Roth is. No.
No.
He looks like. I know what David Lee Roth looks like. I know what Sammy Hagar looks like. And I know what Eddie Van Halen looks like. That's it. I didn't know there were two Van Halens.
Oh, yeah.
Alex I thought the name was after Eddie Van Halen. And they're just calling it Van Halen because Eddie Van
name.
Halen.
Yeah.
Did not know about the other brother.
Yeah.
Did not know about this bass dude you keep talking about. That's some nice beef. All right.
Good one, yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
The lotion station. That's going to be...
The lotion station? That's people has a copyright on that. Don't even try it. It's the Heike urinal.
It's just a lotion.
It's just lotion. It's a lotion station. Why is it? I've never seen such a line for the men's bathroom before at a concert. Don't worry about it. Not only is there no concert, it's not a bathroom. It's a lotion station. Penis news. Quite silly. It's just like it's a problem. It's not a problem.
It's not a problem.
And they created a solution for it.
They should know what they need to do. Make the guys feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And then it'll
be like, your dick's filthy. Hit it up with some dick wash. Dick wash 2.0. You know, like make them feel bad.
Yeah, that's like what they do with women.
Yeah.
How are your armpits looking?
Or they should show a guy about to be with someone, man, woman, doesn't matter. You know, it's romantic. He pulls out. It's like, ah!
Yeah. Oh.
What the hell?
Mm.
Oh, gee. Should have used Dick Wash 2000. That's funny. His dick was never dirty like this at home.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have?